Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to start a new theme, hope. And this week we're going to look at the hope we have in our Creator, our Heavenly Father, the one who created everything we see and everything we can't see too. As part of this, I want to give you the answer to one of the oldest questions there is. That question is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Today we will find that we already know the answer to that question. Now, our Bible starts with the book of Genesis. And the first words we read in Genesis are these. In the beginning, God. God is the creator. He exists. He's not a product of man's imagination. He is real and he is the basis of our hope. The Bible begins with the account of God creating the heavens and the earth and everything in between. Stars and insects, trees and galaxies, planets and animals, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, as well as human beings, us. God is the one who creates all things and orders all things. He is the one who has made us. He is the one who has made everything. Now, as a brief aside, as I said earlier, if you continue to read through Genesis chapter 1 and you are one of those people who like to know the answer to various questions, these deep philosophical questions, like which came first, the chicken or the egg, then you'll find the answer in verses 20 to 23, where we're told that God created all the creatures in the sea and every creature with wings, like chickens. And having created them, he then said, be fruitful and increase in number. So you see, we did already know the answer to what came first. It was the chicken. Now, God is eternal. Eternity is a concept that our finite human minds struggle to comprehend. We expect things to have a beginning and an end. But God has been here since long before we arrived, and he will be around long after we're gone too. In fact, he always has been and he always will be, which is the meaning of eternity. So although this is fairly basic, it is really important, and I wanted somehow to wrap this up in a pithy phrase that we could all get hold of and remember. But I struggled, so the best that I could come up with is this. Life begins and ends with God. He comes first, not us. Does it seem like I'm pointing out the obvious? Maybe I am. But I think that sometimes we need to be reminded of the most basic aspects of our faith. Why? Well, because even as Christians, we don't always act or live like God comes first, do we? What do I mean? Well, just think of something simple. Think about the conversations you have with people and ask yourself, how many of the sentences I speak begin with that word, I, or have I as the main subject? Like, I'm going to do this today, or this is how I feel. You see, our thoughts revolve around ourselves, and many of our feelings are ultimately self-centred. Almost without thinking about it, we put our thoughts, our feelings, and even our actions first. We often put more trust in our own abilities than in those of our Creator. And this is a difficulty, a problem, because when we fall into this mindset, hope becomes based on what we think we can accomplish rather than our hope and our trust being in God. Church, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sing these words regularly. It's time to start believing them. Our hope is based on God. The Bible teaches us that God is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, not us. In the Message version of the Bible, the author Eugene Peterson introduces the book of Genesis by saying, first, God. God is the subject of life. God is foundational for living. If we don't have a sense of the primacy of God, we will never get it right. Get life right, get our lives right. Not God at the margins, not God as an option, not God on the weekends, God at centre and circumference. God first and last. God, God, God. God first. Not me. Not my hopes or my desires. God's plan and God's purpose first. God comes first. He is before all things. He's meant to have first place in our lives. And you know, the first day would never have even come into being without God. God creates our days. All of our days are given by him. Without God, we would have no hope. Our days would be nothing, no order, no purpose, nothing. Indeed, without God, we would not even exist. But with God, we have hope, we have purpose, and we have a destiny that is ordained by him. We have hope in our Creator, for he has created us, and he's provided a way for us to be saved from the penalty of our sins. When we repent and turn to Jesus, when we become his follower, his disciple, the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside us. He empowers us and helps us to be the people God created us to be. He helps us to be the people God has saved us to be. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ just to do, in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and God is our creator too. So the next time somebody tries to put you down, the next time the devil starts whispering that you're no good, remember that you are God's handiwork. You are a masterpiece created by God. Wow! Doesn't that put things in a different perspective? Now, the first two verses of Genesis describe how God created the earth and how even then it was formless and empty and darkness covered the deep waters. God took something that was without shape, a formless, empty void covered in darkness, and he made something. God gave shape to the shapeless. God brought order to where there was no direction. He gave form to something that was formless. He created something out of nothing. And this illustrates four things about our personal relationship with God. First, without God's creating and saving power in my life, I am a formless void. Apart from God, I don't have a purpose. I have no direction. I have no meaning. I have no hope. In his first act of creation, God created the heavens and the earth. But at this point, the earth was still completely without order, purpose, or direction. Then God's creative hand shaped it and made it what he knew it should be. That was the earth before God began his creative work. And that is like us before we allow God to begin his creative and saving work in our lives, formless, hopeless, empty, in darkness. Secondly, it tells me that I cannot create my own life. I cannot make myself into what I should be. I cannot give shape and meaning or hope to my life. God is the creator, not me. Only God can turn the formless voids of my life into something that makes sense and is worthwhile. Only God can create something worthwhile out of me and my life. When God created the heavens and the earth, he brought into existence something that didn't exist before. What God creates is unique, and the same is true of you and me. Just as he brought something new and unique into existence at the beginning of creation, he does the same when he takes the formless voids of our lives and recreates us. The third thing is this. when God recreates and saves us. We become something entirely new than we were before. And when he does this, our lives will never be the same again. They will never be the same as they were before. Last week, we talked about being transformed. And we talked about what Paul said in Romans. But listen, Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. This is the transforming process of God within us. The fourth point is this. God takes us and shapes us, using the stuff of our lives as he finds us. Not only does God create something new and unique out of us and our lives, he does it with the building blocks of that stuff that he had already given us. God also uses all of the things that have happened in our lives for his glory. What this means is that God creates and saves and redeems us using all the stuff of our lives, our talents, our failures, our successes, our strengths, our weaknesses, and our past. God can and does redeem even the worst parts of us and uses it for his glory. God can take what is formless and without order and give it shape, direction, purpose, hope, and destiny. For those who love God, for those who know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, nothing is beyond the redemptive powers of Jesus. Paul also says in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, do you see? We are formless without the creative and saving work of God in our lives. And without God, we are also in darkness. And when we're in darkness, we can't see clearly. In the dark, we can stumble and fall. Have you ever had a power cut at home? Have you ever had a power cut at home in the dark? Have you ever had a power cut at home in the dark and not been able to find a torch or a candle? Have you ever had to wander around in the dark? Sometimes when we wander about in darkness, we can get hurt. We can walk into things we don't see. We can fall down. We can trip over. John 3:19 says it like this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Without the presence of God in our lives, we are living in the dark, living in sin, heading for a lost eternity away from God. But God's love brings his light into our darkness. Trusting in Jesus brings us from darkness into God's marvelous light. In Genesis, God speaks and there is light. God speaks and there is hope. It's exactly the same for us even today. God is the source of light and hope for us. Only the light God speaks into being can dispel the darkness of sin. Only the light God speaks into being can shine in our darkness and not be overcome by it. And the most amazing thing about this is that every single one of us can know that light in our lives. That light is Christ, the light of the world. Let's return to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There's a word in Hebrew that I want you to hear about this morning. That word is ruach. In Greek, it's pneuma. And both of these words mean wind, breath, and spirit. Here in Genesis chapter 1, we have the Spirit of God present at creation. And when it says the Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters, this verb has the sense of an ever-changing speed and direction, just like wind. I'm reminded of what Jesus said about the Spirit to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The ever-changing movement of the wind in Genesis, of the Spirit of God, is movement with a purpose, movement with a creative purpose, movement with intent to bring life out of nothing, to give form to the shapeless, and to bring light into the darkness. Do you see? It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to see Jesus for who he really is. It is the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts that moves us to accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. It is also the Holy Spirit who is at work in us after we become disciples of Jesus, after we ask for forgiveness of sins. He transforms us to become more like Jesus. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus tells his disciples that apart from me, you can do nothing. Genesis 1 teaches us this truth too. The earth was a formless void. No plants, no grass, no trees, no fruit, no life. Indeed, at this point, the earth was dark, desolate, unproductive. Then God brought life, light and life. And hope. Listen to Genesis 1 verse 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And it was so. It happened just as God spoke it to be. You see, when God speaks, when God acts to create, things happen. When God wills it, trees grow, bushes sprout, fruit is produced. And the same is true with us, isn't it? You tell me, can we really be productive without God in our lives? I mean, can we alone really produce anything of eternal value? Without Christ in our lives, we are desolate. Like the earth at the beginning of Genesis, we are without hope. I recently went to a funeral. It was for somebody who had died without knowing Jesus. The words that were spoken were lovely, but they were totally devoid of hope. It was so sad. But with Christ, we have hope. And we are productive. By the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, we can produce the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, a harvest of righteousness. And who does this in our lives? Is it us? No. This is God's doing, not ours. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So how does this apply to us? Well, the truth is that all of this is true if, and only if, God comes first in our lives. Just as God was in the beginning in Genesis. Unless we learn to make God the priority he should be, unless we deliberately and willingly hand our lives over to God, we'll be left formless, desolate, in the dark, without hope. As we come towards a finish now, there is one question that I would like us all to pose. One really important question for us to ask ourselves. And that question is this. Do we want to remain void and empty, without direction, purpose, or hope, wandering in the darkness of sin? Or will we allow God to take us and mould us and form us into his handiwork, his masterpiece, transforming us ever more and giving us hope? Hope for now and for eternity. To bring each one of us out of darkness into his marvellous light. You know, in theology, there's an important Latin phrase that gets used when we talk about God creating the heavens and the earth. And that phrase is, bear with me, creatio ex nihilo. In English, this means creation out of nothing. This was how the world began. There was nothing. And God created. He brought something totally new and unique into existence. Where before there was nothing, now there is something. The same can also be true of us. As we come to ever more recognise that it is God who comes first, and that it is only God who can take all of our nothing and make it into something. Hope is found here in our Creator, our Father. Hope is found here in Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Hope is found here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Hope is found here as God speaks light and dispels darkness. When we find ourselves feeling empty, feeling like the darkness is closing in, feeling like we have no hope, God brings transformation into our lives. For only God creates, and our hope must be in him and in him alone. Here is hope, eternal hope. Hope with a passion, hope with a purpose, hope in all our circumstances, hope in a pandemic. Here is real hope. Our hope is in God.